Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is February 4th, 2020. This is Season 2, Episode 26. My name is Dan Curry, with no glasses. Apparently he's freaking out Clinton.
Right before we started, I told him he looks weird without glasses. You really get him in the mood and ready to be on camera.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, like, overall, you've probably known me without glasses longer than with. I haven't worn glasses for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, boring stuff. Clinton, how are you?
I'm doing well.
You guys, you don't want to talk about how long I've been wearing my glasses?
We could continue.
No Neil today. Yeah. He is in Florida on a family trip, so he is enjoying the sunshine, and we will be in a basement talking about video games, as we do every week. Thanks, chat, for telling me I look weird without my glasses. Just filling me up with all the confidence today. Clinton, what video games have you been playing?
I've been playing a bit of... League of Legends. Mm-hmm. I started playing a game that we'll talk about soon. I'm not going to talk about... Well, I'll tell you what it is. I started playing Gears.
Okay.
But I'm not going to talk about it because we're going to talk about it in probably 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Played a bit of Overwatch. Got some skins for the Year of the Rat event.
There's a new event going on right now.
Yep. And then I've been playing Realm Grinder on my phone.
What is Realm Grinder?
Just that idle game.
Oh, is that one you've been playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Awesome. So Neil and I have been playing a lot of Divinity. I have nothing more to say about that. We're 70 hours in now. There was just a major plot twist and...
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. So other than that, it's same. It's more of the same. It's a great game. The gameplay loop is fun and challenging. Then I kind of was just having... I'm having that thing right now where I like that game so much I can't find another game to play. So Neil left on Sunday morning, and all day Sunday I just jumped in and out of games for like 5-10 minutes at a time.
That's what I've been doing too in the Campaign League. I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And I think my problem was I wanted to play Divinity so badly, I kept jumping into games that were similar to Divinity. They're either fantasy or they were tactical based.
Yeah.
And I was like, This just makes me want to play Divinity more. So I played Mutant Year Zero. Mm-hmm. That was the one that I was like, I'm going to stick with this. It is one of the most difficult games I've ever played in my entire life. I had to bump it down to the easiest difficulty, and I still kept losing. And I was like, I think I'm going to back out of this. I might give it another shot another time. But if you're ever interested in that game, it's a tactical base, kind of like XCOM. Apparently what I was doing wrong, just looking it up, is... there's a lot of emphasis on stealth, which is really weird. So like you're kind of supposed to like trap one character at a time until you get it down to something manageable, which I was not in the mood to do. Once I looked up like, why is this game so hard? And it was like, oh, I'm playing it wrong. I was like, I don't want to play it the right way. It doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
So then after a while, I was like, I'm going to try something kind of not Divinity. I started playing a little Spyro. Spyro's fun. I really enjoy Spyro, but it's just too easy. It's super easy. And there's at some point where you're just like, I can't just do... like, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This isn't enjoyable.
Yeah, like... I mean, if a game's easy, that's fine, but there is like literally no pushback. It's like doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I played a little Hollow Knight. I enjoyed that. I just didn't think I was kind of in the mood for that either. Then I finally found a game we're going to talk about more later, but Jurassic World Evolution. It is basically Roller Coaster Tycoon, except for you start a dinosaur park. And we'll talk more about it later, but it caught me, and I played it for like 12 hours, or maybe possibly more. So it is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, not a whole lot. Let's talk about upcoming games. All of them come out today.
Yeah.
Tuesdays and Fridays are usually the days. Nothing's really coming out on Friday. Again, you can always go to IGN. They have a great upcoming games list to check out all the games. I don't put them all on there. I just put ones that seem interesting to me or that are kind of bigger. Tuesday, February 4th, today, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics comes out for Xbox, PC, Mac, PS4, and Switch. So it's kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics situation, except for it is based in the world of The Dark Crystal. Zombie Army 4 Dead War comes out for PC, Xbox, and PS4. Pretty sure that's just a zombie shooter. And The Sims 4 Tiny Living Stuff Pack, I think a week or two ago, I said that came out for PC. Now it's Xbox, PS4. And SpongeBob, The Krusty Cook-Off comes out for Android and iOS.
The Krusty Cook-Off.
Yeah, I wanted to look that up before I came here to see what it was, but it is SpongeBob. It looks like it's kind of a, they said it was a simulation game, so yeah. I'm not sure what that entails. But I'll probably check it out.
I'm going to put us to break for just a second here, okay. Because I need to fix something that's bothering me.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Hey, we're back. We just had to do a little fixy fix.
Yeah.
A little ranging. So, yeah, out of the games that are coming out, I mean, anything that adds to my Sims game is always a possibility. I'll get it at some point. I'll probably check out that SpongeBob game.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's it. We're kind of early.
Yeah.
Still, things will start kicking off soon, hopefully. And then we're all kind of getting ready for the new gen overall, I think. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't see... I mean, there's some big things that'll come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2077 and things.
Yep, 2077. We got The Last of Us.
Yeah, those are ones that are planned so they can hit kind of that in between, I think.
Yep, yeah, for sure. I'm kind of excited. I think pretty soon Bleeding Edge is coming out. The one that's kind of like that. That's a Ninja Theory. It's kind of like an Overwatch kind of situation. Kind of been looking for like a new competitive game to just jump in. So that'll be soon. But right now we're kind of... nowhere. So let's talk some news. No Man's Land. You gotta go back in your good backlog time.
Yeah, I think. You got a big list of games like Dan does.
Mm-hmm. What you can do is you can completely ignore that list and go on Game Pass and play games that were never on your list. It's my great system to never get through my games.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I sat on Sunday and I said, you know what I could do is go get my Wii U and plug it in and go through those games. And then Courtney said, you could do that. And then I just sat there and I made no moves. I did not do that. So let's talk some news. I think we talked about this game coming out a week or two ago, but this is from Kotaku, Luke Plunkett. Warcraft 3's remaster is so unpopular, Blizzard is offering instant refunds. So this came out not too long ago. This is Warcraft 3 Reforged, which was going to be kind of basically a remastered version. And they were saying, you know, the story was going to change a little bit to kind of line up with World of Warcraft's. They were changing graphics. They were adding and improving on voice acting. They're going to update the UI, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, it came out and people... were pissed, and I guess kind of rightfully so. Apparently it does look great. Apparently the graphics
killer.
Apparently people have found very, very little change to the voice acting.
Yeah,
apparently Grom Hellscream, they just use his last name now. They didn't in the past, I believe. Was something that they mentioned. Apparently the cutscenes are just kind of like zoomed in a little more. Like there's nothing really super great about them, and the way they release the UI is exactly the same. It just looks a little different, but nothing's like improved other than that. And apparently the way they released it was basically, if you have Warcraft 3, this kind of like attaches to it and you can't play the game the old way anymore. So it just like kind of overtakes the old game.
Really?
You can't even access it.
Interesting.
Which caused problems because when the game came out, they of course had huge connection issues. No one could get online. So then people who were like, well, I'll just play the old version, couldn't even do that. So it was a huge mess. And basically people were so upset. It's called Warcraft 3 Reforged. People started calling it Warcraft 3 Refund. And they were so upset that Blizzard decided, there's usually a lengthy refund process. You have to like prove all these different things.
Yeah.
But now they're just saying, yeah, basically you have to go through a process of finding out what was wrong with your purchase. And they want to apply it if you had the game for a while and been playing it. But basically if you say you want a refund, you get it instantly. So Blizzard... killing it.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, that seems to be par for the course for companies recently.
Yeah. Which is so silly. And then there's a big, I don't want to read the whole thing and bore you all, but there's a big response basically saying, hey, we're going to try to get this together, but if you want a refund, we'll give you one. But we're going to try to fix it. Which, again, it would be nice if things were just right.
Yeah.
When it came out. Especially like...
Did you just try to push your glasses up?
No, I had a little bit of nose. Although I do that. Yeah, it's silly. It was like, I used to have long hair, I'd get my hair cut, and I'd still like twitch it. But yeah, you can check that out if you if you're interested in seeing what they had to say about it. But yeah, they kind of promised something and didn't really give people what they thought it was going to be. So
yep. Well, I mean, how do you? I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say like, how do you take a game like Warcraft 3, which is so wildly beloved, and like do anything to it without pissing some people off? But it sounds like it was actually pretty bad.
It sounds like. And I think Luke says it in this article. His idea was that if they would have said, hey, we've just redone the graphics, it would have come out and everyone would have been like, wow, good job.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
Yeah.
But I think the idea was supposed to be, I think he put it pretty well where he said, it's supposed to, I thought it was going to feel like a new game. It just looks like a new game.
Yeah.
And it kind of like promised a lot more. And he said, if they just would have said, hey, we've updated the graphics, enjoy. He's like, I think people would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
But to say like, oh, the cutscenes are going to be more in depth. There's going to be new voiceovers that, you know, and the story is going to be changed so it fits the lore of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And just if and it's going to be easier. Your user interface is going to be like more user friendly and more like modern ones, and just to not have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So people were making videos of like the trailer and then the actual game and putting them side by side and being like, this was not it. And just people were, you know, even thinking about doing class action lawsuit, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah. So Blizzard, man, they've been having a rough go. I know even Overwatch, they've decided to redo everything.
Yeah, they changed some of the like competitive stuff so that there's only a certain amount of characters available. Like two of each pool are blocked out each rotation.
I think from what I read starting, it was like one tank, one healer, and two DPS are blocked every like
it's like every week in the season there's a different thought it was two from each role, but it might be
I think it's one and two because there's so many.
But I don't see what that would do
to shake up the meta.
Honestly, like it's not really going to, because like knocking out four characters isn't really, unless you're specifically targeting the ones that people are having fun in playing.
Yeah,
it's not a way to fix your game.
We'll see what happens.
I don't know. They had like, we were talking about it in Discord the other night, a few of us, and one of the guys said, like they just had this incredible power creep. Mm-hmm. And couldn't figure out what to do with it. With GOATs happening, they kept bumping everyone higher and higher and higher, and then it all came to a head and they were like, we still can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so instead of like going back and seeing like what everything was at and just lowering everything back down and then trying to figure out from there, they were just like, you know what, roll queue. And then that didn't fix it.
Nope.
So now they're like, well, we'll just put in like a roster that you can't play.
Yeah, it's like weird because I think they didn't want bans because they were afraid of everybody like always banning Orisa.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough characters really to have like bans. So I think they were just like, if we implement bans, people are always going to ban the same three or four characters.
Yeah.
So let's just do our own. And it's like, well, then the only time the meta is going to get shaken up is if you're blocking one of the so I don't know, it'll be interesting. Yeah, you feel you all right over there? I feel like they really should have just done like a huge overhaul like behind the scenes and been like, here, Overwatch like is, I think, I don't know, two is just on the way maybe, and that's why they're not messing with that now.
Well, they're still like digging into weird stuff and like I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just kind of like lost at this point. Mm-hmm. They can't figure out what they need to do to get things back to kind of 2 years ago, and I don't think they can. It's just one of those things of like,
we mess
this
with
is
it too
Overwatch
much.
Now. Yeah. Like,
I haven't been playing, but it seems like they haven't like released a map or a character.
There hasn't
or
been
anything.
A character. Yeah, there hasn't been a map since Paris.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, not Paris. Cuba. Is it Cuba?
Oh yeah, that Cuban one. And then there hasn't been a character since
Baptiste.
Was that really the last character?
I think so.
Huh.
I don't think anyone's come out after.
I don't think so either.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was like January, or not January, July, I think.
Yeah, I want to check, because I think there might have been... Was there one? It just seems so...
I don't think so. I think
you're right, but... Brigitte, Ring a bell. Let's see here. Sigma.
Right.
But he came out July of 2019.
So it was July.
Yeah. So we're coming up. But they say the...
There's supposed to be one more before Overwatch 2.
Yeah, that's what I see as well. So, but we don't know when Overwatch 2 is. So... And then Sojourn...
Oh, Sigma came out in August. So he was announced in July.
Oh, he came out in August. That's still a long time.
Yeah.
Don't they usually do... Like every...
Ash came out after Wrecking Ball? That surprised me.
Yep.
But I guess there's only 2 a year, really, that they've released, and that kind of lines up.
Yeah. Well, no, there was 3 in 2018. There was 3 in 2017.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I think that would be the thing that might get me back into it, like a new character to try out.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So. Yeah, Blizzard's just kind of in a weird spot overall. They had that Hearthstone controversy, and... This and
yeah,
and Overwatch is, you know, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. They're a big enough company that they can handle the storm for a while.
Yeah,
I think. All right, this one is from IGN. The PS5 price is a balancing act, and it might be influenced by the Xbox Series X price. So they haven't decided on a PS5 price yet. They're apparently just waiting to see what Xbox does.
That's what they did last time too, wasn't
did
it?
They?
And then they priced it $100 cheaper.
Lower. That's pretty interesting. So they had their Q3 earnings call this week, which it announced it had the lowest Christmas sales period, which makes sense. Like, if you don't have...
It's been, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah. If I mean, if
it
you
was,
don't...
It was, what, 2012 or 2013 it came out? Because I was working at Best Buy then, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, in 2019, 6.1 million were sold compared to 8.1 million. So I just think that it's just coming towards the end. People already have the PS4.
Yeah.
So, and there hasn't been a new model or anything like that since the Pro. So I think if anything, out of, you know, Switch has probably sold like crazy just because the new Pokemon came out, stuff like that. It sounds like Xbox is doing better just because people are like, sweet, I'm on Game Pass. Like,
yeah, I mean,
buy a cheap Xbox and get Game Pass is like almost worth it right there.
Yeah. And if, I don't know. Do they count kind of Game Pass Xbox on the computer stuff into their Xbox brand?
Yeah, I guess.
Into Xbox earnings?
Cause, I don't know.
Because that was. Because there's a lot of people on PC that have Game Pass.
So it's I mean, it's a great tactic, obviously, to just be like, oh, what are you doing? Well, ours is $100 cheaper or whatever, depending on what happens. But so the next Xbox comes out, or the next play, whatever. Like, what do you think? Like, you was your like max level of like, I'm still gonna get it right away. I know you. If you're gonna get it right away, I don't know if you will or not. Because I know your PC. Playing now, but like, what do you think would be reasonable at this point?
$399.
You think keeping around 400?
Yeah,
would be good. Yeah, I can see them maybe bumping it to 5, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they tried 5 with the last one, and
I think the Xbox was 5 because it came with the Kinect. Yeah. Automatically came with the Kinect, which was a big mistake because nothing ever came out for it. It was fun, like, but it was like, I would rather.
Yeah, I mean, it turned into a glorified remote, voice control remote.
Definitely. Like. So, Courtney played that weird game on it, Dreams. And then I think we played
Dark,
like Kinect
Dark
Adventure.
Dark Dreams Don't Die.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Darkest Dreams Don't Die?
Dark Dreams Don't Die, I think. Yeah. And in Zoo Tycoon, which is a game we'll talk about later.
Did you play Just Dance?
No, I didn't play Just Dance. But in Zoo Tycoon, when you could go and
just came out for the Wii, if you want to
get it for the Wii. We have two. Each of us have. Although I have an Xbox One S now, and I don't think it has a port to plug in the Kinect. So I think I just have an extra Kinect that I might want
to. Maybe able to sell it.
Yeah, I could sell it, or I might just like put it somewhere. In Zoo Tycoon, you can walk up to the animals. Cages and it would show your reflection in the glass.
In the glass.
Yeah.
And that was all it did?
Yep. Courtney's like, this is cool. all right, I'm done now. It's something that it seems like Nintendo could have had a lot of fun with, and Xbox was like, didn't do anything with it. Like, yeah. It seems like you could have made like a fun game where you took pictures and like drew on yourself or anything, and they just did nothing.
Yeah.
So, which is so funny because I don't even think it did well on the 360, because the 360 had them.
No. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a thing.
They were like, Xbox Ones have to have them.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to get ahead of like Nintendo putting out something like that. And
There was like times where there was like a thing where if you sat down, you could raise your hand and it would like sign you in, mm-hmm. and you could control it, and like that was fine.
Yeah, I remember swiping through menus on it and stuff.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah, and then that like that whole thing went away. Like, yeah. You can't even do that anymore. So yeah, maybe without that kind of like peripheral, it'll be 400. But if it was 5, I wouldn't be surprised. Anything more than that, I think, is asking a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it will do well if it's more than.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think even 450 would be kind of pushing it.
Yeah, I mean, but people spend $1,000 on phones now. You know.
Yeah, but those are like, I use my phone way more than I would ever use an Xbox.
That's true. Yeah, and it's like got a screen on it and stuff, which the resolution, all that things. So, yeah. So I think it's a good tactic. It'll be interesting to see what they do. And last one's also from IGN. So Rockstar co-founder and GTA writer Dan Houser leaves the company. So he is going to leave on March 11th, 2020. So if you don't know who he is, him and his brother, what's his brother's name? Sam? Yep, Sam. They started Rockstar Games. If you want to know more about that, we have a whole episode.
About the two of them
and starting Rockstar and creating Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, Dan, trivia question. What company did they work for before they started
Rockstar? It was a record company.
It was.
And it was called like DCMA or something like that.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember either.
I just remember it was one of the trivia questions Neil asked us in the trivia episode.
Here it is. BMG Interactive. BMG. So they worked at, I think, a record company. I think they convinced the record company to start a video game section. Yep, and then they created BMG Interactive, and then Take-Two bought it, and then founded Rockstar underneath Take-Two.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy that he's taken off.
Are both of them leaving or just one of them?
Just Dan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's got his money.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm sure he is walking away, so... wonder what he's doing. So he took an extended break that began in 2019 after the launch of Red Dead in November of 2018. So yeah, he wrote he was a writer on most of the Grand Theft Auto games from 2 to 5. He was a head writer on Bully, Red Dead Redemption, Max Payne 3, and Red Dead Redemption 2. So doesn't say anything about where he plans to go or if he's retiring or
I'd retire. What.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hire me as a consultant.
Yeah, people like that have that kind of money and when they don't retire and they go do something else, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, what do you need? How much money do you
need? That's why we'll never be that rich.
Though. Exactly. We don't have that drive. Yeah, for sure. Like Jeff Bezos, I'm like, why do you do things? Like, you have enough money to give everybody on the planet $18. Like, why do you not just go, you know what? I'm good. I have enough money for 1,000 lifetimes. I think I'll just hang out on a yacht. Especially if he sold Amazon to somebody.
Why sell it? You keep pulling dividends off
of it. I wonder if he does anything. Or if it just everybody does things underneath him.
At Amazon, I doubt he does much.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has final say over like big picture things, but I doubt that he's like getting into the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah, why? Yeah. Why do it? So... All right, that's all for news right now. It's kind of slow season still, so we're going to take another break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Game Goose. Today we are going to be talking management games, which I don't know if that's really the correct term for them. They're like simulation games, but I guess where you are managing resources and things. I don't know.
I'd say management.
Management games, yeah. That's the word that came to mind for me. So SimCity, Roller Coaster Tycoon,
Planet Coaster,
Planet Coaster,
City Skylines.
City Skylines.
You're just gonna say what I say?
Yep.
Is The Sims a management game?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know. It's like kind of a mix of that and just a regular simulation game, you know? Yeah. I guess you're managing like funds and like building stuff, but I don't think it's got elements of it. I don't know if I would consider it a management game. It's pretty, it's like a life simulator. But
a life management?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you have to manage how bad you got to pee, yeah, stuff like that. But I think that's more, I think of a simulation game.
Football Manager.
Football Manager. That's a good one.
I should have played that for my
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you enjoy these kind of games?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I play Sims or I play Cities Skylines quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm terrible at Cities Skylines. I think I've talked about this probably on the podcast. I don't know why either. Because I like these games a lot.
That game's not even that difficult. You just have to follow some like simple rules.
I think the problem for me is that I play on Xbox. I think I have it zoomed out too far, so I think I'm making like a little like starter city, and then it's like this huge strip, and I'm like, why don't I have any money or power? Like, oh, because I built like a giant. And like our friend Matt plays, and when I was playing it, he was like, want to see my city? And I looked at it, and he's got like a highway system and like all this stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I don't know how to do that at all. There's no way.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be able to do this.
He was just telling me the other day about how big he had gotten his city. Mm-hmm. He said he's got it like up to the highest level and all this shit. So.
Yeah, that was. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And then I was like, I mean, maybe I'll try it again. Maybe I need to zoom in a little more. Start smaller.
Yeah, that game's interesting. I mean, it's not super difficult. Mm-hmm. At least on the computer, because you have some more, probably easier control over it. I don't know, it's got like a lot of intricate parts to it and they all work really well together.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I didn't think it was that difficult. As long as you don't overreach in the beginning, you kind of take your time, and
the beginning is always the hardest,
build up slow. Yeah. And I don't know, with that game it gets a lot harder later because you get like so many things going on where you have to keep track of your bus lines and you have to keep track of traffic and put in subway lines to kind of alleviate high traffic areas and things, and watch pollution as you kind of build your industries. And
that was the other thing. I could not figure out, for some reason, the pollution. It always was an issue for me. It was just always
too close.
I couldn't figure out how to, because like it will go when you create like a power source in the water, like it creates a pollution, right?
Yeah.
And
not in the water.
Around the water, yeah. If you put like a power plant, the water one, or no, is it a
coal plant?
No, I'm thinking the sewer goes out through the water. It'll create that little brown spot, and you're supposed to do it where like the current will go towards the intake
downriver.
But for some reason on Xbox, I don't know if I couldn't figure it out or if they hadn't gotten it right yet. I couldn't, there was no indicator which way the current was going.
Oh, it should change. Did the screen go like white when you went to the sewage thing?
That was a while ago I played.
Okay, because it should go white, and then the water will be blue, and it'll have arrows in it
telling
you which way it goes.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe they got that down now, and I can...
It was very obvious which way the water flowed on computer. So.
Yeah, so... And I know it was built for computer, and it got ported, and those kind of games... I think, in general, these kind of games are
computer
always games. Best for a computer. They're not super bad for on console, because they can be pretty slow, so it's not like you have to be quick or anything like that, but just you have more options, and you can, there's so many tools and things like that that it's easier to just be like, oh, click on this, as opposed to having to pull up like a menu and tap through it with your joystick. But what would you think is like the first management game that you played then as a kid?
Sim Ant. Managing an ant colony.
Yeah, managing the ant colony. That's got to be up there. I forget about that game until you bring it up constantly.
I love that game.
It is good.
I tried to play it, I don't know, probably 6-7 months ago, and
doesn't hold up.
Not interesting.
That's funny. For me, it was SimCity 3000, I think, was kind of the first one I remember really jumping into.
Yeah.
And that was always fun. We would build up, and then you build up your city and stuff like that. And it was a fun game to play with like a friend, because mm-hmm. it's not super exciting to be in control. You know, you can still like plan things and be like, put that there. And eventually you just get bored, and there was a disaster button, and you could just choose what disaster came through. We would mess with that all the time.
Yeah.
That was always just a blast.
Yeah. So my brother and I used to play this racing game. I can't remember which one it was, but it had a mode in it where you would be like the pit crew chief.
Yeah.
So you would just be in control of like when they went in for pit stops and like if they got tired. So
you were not driving, or you could in another part of the game.
Yeah. Okay. And the rest, I think it was a Gran Turismo game. I'm not sure which one, but there was a race in that game that was like a 24-hour race, and you could do the full length 24-hour race. So my brother and I would do it in that mode where you're like the crew chief and stuff. And we did it probably 6 or 7 times, where someone would have to like set a timer and wake up to tell them to pit again.
That's super funny. It wasn't called Pit Crew, was it?
No, it was. Okay. It was just like a Gran Turismo game or something that had like a mode in it.
Okay, here we go. Maybe we can find it here. I just really want to find out. Gran Turismo looked like so.
It was called like B Spec or Spec 2 or
Gran Turismo Sport?
No, I think it was Gran Turismo 3 A Spec, and then there was a mode in it called B Spec where you could take over for that, if I'm not mistaken.
So did you have to like manage like how many screws you had?
No. It was like, do they take gas this time or not? And how much? And like when do they come in for pit stops? And
interesting.
And sometimes we would like watch it, or like it would be playing, and the driver would just get in an accident at like 12 hours in or whatever.
And then you're done, you lose.
Well, you can still like fix the car and go limp back out, and like you end up like.
And you have no control over that?
No, you end up way behind and stuff. Yeah, no.
So you're just playing, you're like, sweet. And then just roll the dice, something bad happens to your driver, and you just lose.
Just like a normal race.
That's super funny.
But usually it would end up, our car would end up like finishing like 100 laps ahead or something ridiculous.
Because
like,
you're so good at the pit stops.
Or we probably were messing with the things so that we just made sure it would always win or something. Right. We would have been like 12 and 13 at the time. Yeah. So like.
I think that's like one of the fun part about these. Like, what do you think is fun about managing stuff? Because, like, if you just talk about it, it's like, oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. You have a zoo.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say when we were talking about what I've been playing. I played probably, like, 2.5 hours the last week of Euro Truck Simulator 2.
How was that?
It's fun. I enjoy it. It's so dumb.
But why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's, like, the thing. Like, I don't even know, like, why these are fun. Someone in chat said the power. Possibly the power. Yeah,
no, that's
makes sense. I think it's just fun to be like, oh, I have this little thing.
This little square.
And now it's a big thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It is interesting to make, like, those decisions and stuff and watch things grow. I do love these games, though. I think one of the other ones I played recently, I was talking about it, was Prison Architect.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, an interesting one where you have to kind of balance.
Yeah.
And there's a choice in that, because you can choose what kind of prison, like, person you're going to be. Like, is your prison just going to be, like, super locked down, like, everybody in their cells at 7, no TV, that kind of stuff. And that's how you keep everybody safe. You're just going to have guards everywhere with guns. Or are you going to be like, hey, there's, like, a rec room, and you can be out for 2 hours and then have lunch, for, like, and then keep the prisoners happy so they don't.
Result.
Start fighting. Yeah, so it's like, that was like an interesting kind of thing too. And their campaign in that was like super sad. Like, it's really like, was kind of like a commentary on the prison, like the U.S. prison system, which I did not expect going in. And I was like, oh, Prison Architect, you get to make your own prison. And then it was just like, whoa, this is dark.
Yeah.
It like followed this whole, there's like mafia family infiltrating, and like followed them. And it was really interesting.
That's funny.
So yeah, I recommend that one too if you're interested in these kind of things.
There's kind of a influx of these kinds of games too, like sci-fi versions and fantasy versions, like RimWorld is pretty much just like you manage a colony on a newly colonized planet, or there's like Dwarf Fortress, which is probably the like ultimate
people really talk up
Dwarf management game. It's an interesting game. Have you ever watched anything about it? Okay, so it's like a it is just like a simulation of an entire world, pretty much. And you started out by like defining a size for it, and then how long you want the world history to be, and like it generates the terrain and landscape and all this stuff, and then whole populations, and then it'll generate a history for the populations however long you want it to be, like thousands of years, and it'll have major events and people that were part of those events, and like civilizations will like grow and die and grow and die, and it's all just like in this big file that you can like dig through, and it has all of these different events and things in it. But like the actual like gameplay is just like you're a group of like 7 to 10 dwarves or whatever that are going out, and you're starting a mine, and you're digging a hole in the ground, and you're trying to find resources and food and water, and then you're fighting off monsters and all this stuff.
How does the history affect the gameplay?
So you can have like factions and things in your area that will like attack you based on like how the history plays out and stuff. So
interesting.
And you can end up being like the queen of this dwindling society who's like setting out to kind of like start her new or bring her people back to whatever. I mean, it's pretty interesting kind of stuff. But yeah, it's super in depth. It's just two brothers that made it.
And that's on PC, right?
I think
it's PC exclusive.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. I think I looked it up. But these days, I never know if someone snuck on a Switch or whatever. So.
No, it wouldn't go on the Switch either. It's all
too much.
Yeah, it's all ASCII art, so it's just letters and symbols. There's no like graphics to it. It's all just like the dwarves are all represented by little D characters that just move through the grid and stuff. But yeah, it's kind of hard to like figure out what's going on initially, just because it's characters and there's no like kind of real world like analog to them necessarily. Like things might not look like what their character is or whatever.
Gotcha.
So it's just like, here's a bunch of characters. You have to know what they mean for them to actually mean anything to you. But it's interesting. It's like a lot of super in depth, and like it's programmed in an interesting way where like they do things sometimes and they don't understand kind of the implications it'll have. So, like, for a while, I don't remember when this was, but all the cats in the game were dying from alcohol overdoses. And they couldn't figure out why. And I guess the cats were hanging out in, like, the beer halls and licking up the puke and then dying from the alcohol in the puke or something ridiculous like that. So,
and for some reason, the computer was, like, just...
Yeah, it was... That it was just programmed in such a way that started happening for some odd reason.
Like, that's super
funny. All the cats in the game just started dying.
I think,
and I might have the details on that wrong.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's interesting because you don't have direct control over anyone either. You just set kind of like, okay, go do this, and then if anyone's available to do it, they go and do it. They dig out the mine or whatever. Kind of similar to. Like Oxygen Not Included, which is I think you land on like a comet or a moon or some kind of small space satellite, and you are looking for resources. You're mining out different resources. You have to manage your water and your oxygen, and you can dig into things like pockets of ammonia or other poisonous gases and things. So you have to like pump them out into different chambers and like isolate them and things. And in that game, you're not in direct control of anything. You just kind of set tasks and then prioritize them based on like how important it is to you to have them done. And then if anyone's available, they go and do those tasks. That one's pretty a pretty interesting game too.
I'm looking at Dwarf Dwarf Fortress right now, and yeah, it does not look like
it doesn't look like anything. Yeah,
I thought it would look like.
Yeah,
it looks very, very old school.
Yeah, it is definitely just a text-based kind
of. Yeah,
it's not a text-based game, but it is. All the art is just text
characters. Yeah, for the most part. There's just like little triangles and looks like trees might be like circles.
Yeah,
or something. That is,
and it is. It's a three-dimensional game, so it like generates the world too, like from the center up, and so like you can shift down through levels of elevation and see things. So like the trees, if you go up, it'll be like trunk, 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 and then you can see like branches on it and branches on it as you go up higher and higher and stuff. So it's interesting. It's a definitely like
that's crazy.
Intense. It's super intense as far as like things in it. If you're interested in it at all and you want to see kind of what it is, there's a YouTuber named, I think it's Krug Smash, let me make sure. Yeah, K-R-U-G-G-S-M-A-S-H, Krug Smash, and he does Dwarf Fortress videos on YouTube, and he draws pictures of the dwarves and things.
Oh, to kind of just like,
because each dwarf like gives a description of what they look like and kind of like what their like likes and hates and things are. Kind of gives like a personality to each of them, and they'll follow those personality traits
as you play.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild. Seems like there's like just a lot of coding in this
game. Yeah, and it's just two brothers that made it, as far as I know.
Yeah, what do they sell for?
It's free, I think.
Dang.
Because, I mean, I have it. I've played it. But I don't think I paid anything for it. I can look. It might cost money now. I don't remember. It's on Steam. Oh, no, it's not on Steam. It will release it on Steam soon.
Oh. Fallout 76 coming to Steam soon.
Dwarf Fortress Classic. People
are probably going to be pumped.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It looks like you can just download it.
Oh, cool. Bay 12 games. Interesting.
They just have a Patreon, it looks like.
Oh, you can even get it for Mac. Well, look at that. Maybe I'll grab this.
But yeah, there's like texture packs for it that'll like make make things more kind of distinct. So it'll give like the things little characters instead of just having art or text. But yeah, no, it's an interesting game. It's definitely got a lot of depth to it and a lot of like management. You have to very closely keep track of things and make sure that whatever monster has just appeared isn't just going to come rampage through all your stuff. So you have to kind of set bounties for monsters and make sure that your warriors and things are in the place they need to be. And then you have to call back all of your dwarves so they don't all just wander.
There's even like a little thing where it's like, like wandering, I'm the website, it just has like little screenshots. Wandering the wilderness, I'm attacked by a pack of wolves. I managed to separate one from the group. Here is the result. What do you want to aim for? And you just like choose upper body, lower body, head, right front leg, like all the ears, oh, so even that, the
is
eyes.
That one where you can just play as like a singular dwarf then?
I don't know, or maybe that just happened to one of the dwarves. And then like it says like all the different.
It's over this cough.
It's not over you. Yeah, that looks crazy. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting game.
Yeah, that's like a...
But yeah, I think it's like kind of influenced... What the fuck is this not typing? It's influenced games like RimWorld and Prison Architect and things as far as like how granular some of the things get.
Yeah.
RimWorld's definitely interesting too. If you don't know anything about that, there's a lot of good videos on YouTube of people playing it. But it's like a same kind of thing, top-down management thing, where you just kind of, you're in charge of this colonist or colony on a distant moon or whatever, or you shipwreck on it, I think, is actually the thing. So you kind of salvage things from your shipwreck, build shelter, and just try to survive, and then, like, you eventually start trading with people and fighting monsters and taming wolves and different things, taking prisoners, and there's like a bunch of different things that can happen
that you have to react to. In chat, someone said, out of curiosity, Danica, what is the line between one of these games and something like Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing? So for me, I think in Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, you're taking on one, person.
Yeah.
And you're like kind of having a simulation of being that person, surviving in that world, kind of living. There's interactions between you and other characters. I think in these kind of games, like these management games, you're kind of, and I think this is why Sims doesn't feel like one to me, because it kind of does though, because you're kind of not that character and you're not directly controlling anybody. You are nameless, kind of godless, or not godless, you're like kind of like a nameless god who, you know, you throw down fences and buildings and stuff like that. I think that's kind of the difference for me, at least, that you're not, I'm not Jim the farmer who's walking around. I am, who knows, the director of this park that has no name and can kind of fly around and do whatever I want.
I'd agree with that. I don't think there's any like hard line of like what's a simulation versus management
kind of game. Yeah, and they blur the lines, you know, things like that.
Yeah, because there are definitely a lot of these types of games where you can probably take a singular person and just play
them and stuff. So I was a huge fan of Roller Coaster Tycoon when I was a kid. Loved it so much. Just like would have, like, play it constantly whenever I brought my computer places. And, you know, at first it was fun to build the roller coasters with people flying to. Yeah, but eventually I just got like super into like managing and making sure my park was profitable and seeing what everybody wanted. Make sure your
bathrooms cost the right amount.
Yeah, all that stuff. So loved it. I think Roller Coaster Tycoon is probably one that most everybody has played or is aware of. Mm-hmm. I think that and SimCity are probably two of the more popular ones. But this weekend, as I mentioned, I started playing Jurassic World Evolution, and that is the closest I felt to playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, like since I played Roller Coaster Tycoon. It's super fun. You don't have to be like a, you do not have to be a Jurassic Park nerd or a dinosaur nerd or anything like that, because you open the park and you get rated on all kinds of things. So I'm playing through the campaign right now. Each one takes you to a different island, and then each island has its own challenges. Once you get to 3 stars, you can go to another island. Once you get to 5 stars, you open up the island to do sandbox with it. So I'm just kind of going through, getting the 3 stars and coming back. But it's super fun. You get like a research lab is one of the things you want to build first. And you can send people out on expeditions to get fossils. They bring them back. Then you put your fossils in your hatcheries. Once you have 50% or more, you can start creating the dinosaurs and making clones of them. The amount of the fossil you have, like, so if you have 50%, you have a 50-50 chance of it surviving or not. So you can spend all the money to make your raptor, but if you only have 50%, one out of every two times is just going to die, which is super disappointing. But you have to make sure, like, the whole dinosaur aspect is there. You have to make sure each dinosaur has its own preferences on how much forest, how much land, how much water they like. So the pen has to be to their suiting. They also have their own preferences of how many dinosaurs can be in the pen before they get upset. And they also have a social bar of how many of their same species they want in the pen with them. So in there's like a blue like line. If you go outside of it, it's red. They'll get uncomfortable. If they get too uncomfortable, they'll start attacking the fence. They'll get out and they'll start killing people. Perfect. They can also get diseases. You have to research the cure for that disease, and then go and you have your rangers go and get them. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can put a bunch of herbivores and then put a carnivore in there and see how they do. Like, you could, I think in theory you could create a giant pen where it just had an ecosystem where everybody got along, except for the, you know, they would get killed, except for the fact the dinosaurs don't reproduce. If it had that, I think you could kind of build. That just reminded me of a game I used to play that was like this, called the Gungan Frontier. That was a Star Wars game where you had to create an ecosystem and everyone had to like flourish.
I was thinking of that the Sonic game with the, what did Neil call them, the Chowas?
The Chowas, yeah, yeah. The Chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Chowas. Yeah. That's funny. Was that kind of somewhere where you had to have them?
I don't know. For some reason, I just made me think of that.
Yeah, I forgot about the Gungan Frontier. It was a super fun game. If anybody else in this world, I've never met another person who has played this game. If anybody that is listening, watching, has played Gungan Frontier, just let me know that it existed. I think we can look it up. But so there's like there is a whole aspect to managing your dinosaurs. They get pretty, you know, they can get sick. They fight each other. They have, you know, preferences. On the other end of that, you have people coming into your park. They obviously pay to get in. Then you have, you know, your bathrooms. You have your food stands. You have your T-shirt sellers, your gift shops, like all that kind of stuff that you do. And that brings in a lot of your money as well. So you have two ratings. You have your dinosaur rating, and then you have your park rating, basically. Eventually, you can build a hotel, and that'll bring more people in and, like, alleviate crowding. And one of my favorite parts about it is it's really, really well built for consoles as well, too. One of the better ones as far as we were talking earlier. They're kind of easier on PC, but this one, the menus are built really well for console. They have a view where you can see, like, okay, what attractions need bathrooms near them, and it'll show you if they're red, there's not nearly enough bathrooms. Yellow, they're okay. Blue, you're good to go. But there's also a view where you can see where people can see dinosaurs from. And they've done everything that you would want them to do. So you can build, like, observation towers, which is pretty self-explanatory. But in the hotel, there's actually a blue ring around it. So you can build pens around the hotel, and people will be pumped to stay in that hotel because they can look out their window and see dinosaurs. And also on the, you can build trams that take people from mm-hmm. one spot to another. As the tram is going, it has a blue circle around it that shows how people can see it. So you actually get a bonus for building the tram, like, near and looking at, you know, okay, it should go near the pen, so if people are on the tram, they can see the dinosaur, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty neat. And you can do your own little thing where you can get into the view of the tram and do that. There's helicopters that can trank your dinosaurs, and you can move them because the ankylosaur does not like other dinosaurs, so I need to, like, as soon as they become born, I have to, like, trank them and move them to their own pen. You can fly the helicopter if you want. This is kind of where the lines kind of blur. You can fly the helicopter and take over the guy shooting the trank.
How is that?
You can, like, choose the helicopter and say, go trank them. But it's kind of like you have to do research to make them have better accuracy, things like
that. How is it, like, you controlling it?
Much you want to do that because you are better than the computer.
No, I mean, how does it control?
Oh, well. Really well, actually.
Why? Because I made that company. So you said it is similar to Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
They made the third Roller Coaster Tycoon. And they made Planet Coaster and Planet Zoo.
So they the are. New
one. Yeah. But they also made Elite Dangerous, which is just a spaceship simulator.
Yeah, so, yeah, the aiming is great.
Flying around should be one of their specialties. Yeah,
it's super easy to control, and it's fun to just fly around from time to time. And you can also take control of your Ranger cars and drive around and do the same thing, like shoot them with the medicine, things like that. And here's something that's super fun that I was like, this is brilliant.
They made games for the Kinect, too.
Did they? What did they make?
Kinectimals.
Never heard of it.
Kinectimals Now with Bears.
Oh.
Kinect Disneyland Adventures.
I remember that one. I think that's on Game Pass, to tell you the truth.
Is it? Zoo Tycoon. Well, okay. That's not a Kinect game, but...
You can see yourself in the glass.
But yeah, they made that game too.
Nice.
So,
Scream Ride. Yeah, that was that's on Game Pass, I think, too.
Is it?
One of my favorite parts of the game is you can get paid money for taking pictures of the dinosaurs. And they use Pokemon Snap elements. So when you're in the truck and you take a picture, it'll say, like, it will list all the dinosaurs that you put in your picture. And then you'll get points if they're doing certain things, if they're eating, if they're drinking, if they're running, if they're socializing.
Yeah.
And if you take pictures of the same dinosaur too many times, you get penalties. So it's just like, I was like, this is, there's Pokemon Snap elements in this game. Like, what is that? And super fun. And last thing I want to say, Jeff Goldblum is in the game doing his voice for Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Perfect.
Because I, like, started the game. I was like, Jeff Goldblum. Courtney was like, what? I was like, Jeff Goldblum. problem? And she's like, what are you talking about? And then I had to look it up because I was like, it, maybe somebody's doing a great impression, yeah, but it's him.
Dinosaur.
So, and then you get contracts through three. There's three different people that give you contracts. There's the science division, security division, and the entertainment division. And if you do one for one of them, the other ones will get upset with you. And then the one that you have the most with, you will, they'll give you more and more contracts. So you kind of got to pick one or two.
Yeah.
I've decided not to do the security guy because he does things like get one of the spitty boys, what it was called, Diplosaurus or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
What the dinosaur yeah. is. He's like, get one of those and then get a velociraptor and make them fight. He wants you to do stuff like that. And then Dr. Ian Malcolm always comes on and goes, that's kind of messed up, dude. And you're like, it is kind of messed up. So you just can
cockfighting with dinosaurs.
Yeah. He's like, it's so we can learn about their defensive capabilities.
Insides yeah. as they rip each other apart. Yeah.
So that's like a weird thing. I like the entertainment guy. He's kind of just like, yo, get a big dinosaur. People like that. And you're like, yeah. Yeah. And the science person just wants you to like mess with their DNA because you can like change your dinosaurs to have longer lifespans or higher attack or higher defense or all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, the Pokemon Snap part is one of the best parts. But yeah, I highly recommend if you like Roller Coaster Tycoon, like you said,
yeah,
made all those games, yeah. Sun Game Pass.
Planet Coaster is really good.
I never played like, Planet Coaster, but that's...
Yeah, it's Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be... I haven't played it, but it's supposed to be really, really good. It's like super, like... You can really dig into things and like kind of design them how you want and like make like a crazy haunted house or whatever if you wanted just because of all the like you can move different elements around and stuff.
Oh, so they announced it in November for consoles, summer 2020. So playing that too.
Yeah. I think they kind of like how Frontier kind of got a lot of their money is doing ports to the Xbox and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Microsoft has them make a lot of games and things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting that the Roller Coaster Tycoon games kind of like faded out and now they're kind of getting another.
Well, the Tycoon games, I think specifically, Atari kept trying to release them and they just weren't very good.
Gotcha.
And, like this company that made the third one was like the last really good Roller Coaster Tycoon that people liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to put out other ones after it that no one liked.
That just didn't.
And I think, yeah, Atari was just kind of like, I don't know, I guess this is done.
I guess we'll make hotels.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're making hotels now.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this company's kind of been part of porting all of the Roller Coaster Tycoon games to Xbox and things. So gotcha. They kind of really had an idea of how they worked.
There's so many of these games. Like, I really like them, and there's so many I haven't played. I've never touched a Tropico. I know our friend Sam really loves those.
Yeah.
Have you played a Tropico? Mm-hmm. That one's when you're a dictator, right?
Yeah. There's another one that just came out, too. I'm never going to remember what the name of it is. That people were really into for a while. Spore. We should talk about Spore.
Spore. Well, Spore is only a manager game for a section of it.
Yeah. Ooh, Frostpunk, too.
I've heard people talk about that one.
So that one's interesting. That one is so it's like post-apocalyptic nuclear winter, I believe. In the world, I don't know if there's like a cloud or something. There's like a cloud covering the earth, so the temperature dropped really low. And then I guess the sun too, and this is like part of the story you find out as you play. Yeah. The sun is like not putting out as much energy. But there's like these big geothermal batteries that you like live around, and it's kind of in a web around it, like circles, concentric circles around this battery, and it like puts out heat, and you have to keep enough heat to everyone and enough power, and you have to dig up coal and wood.
You
and
say
steel.
Frostpunk is the name of it.
Frostpunk, yeah,
yeah. They're even considering like a survival kind of situation as well.
Yeah, so. Kind of. You have to kind of make sure that you don't run out of food and
right.
coal to keep your battery running. The game that I was actually thinking of was Anno 1800, which is kind of similar to Tropico, where you're it's like a city building game, but it's like a real-time strategy as well, where you're kind of building up your... So you've been... Your father was disgraced, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. You're like a... Not a princess, but like high royalty. And your father was kind of disgraced, and your uncle took over... Or it's a company, maybe. Your uncle stole the company from you, so you're trying to like build another company and take down your uncle's company, who's a bad guy.
There's probably a million.
Oh, yeah. But Anno 1800 just looks like a beautiful game. That's why I think a lot of people were super...
How do you spell that?
A-N-N-O 1800.
Oh, I see it. And there's also a 2205?
Hmm?
I saw a 2205 as well.
Yeah, there might be another one. There's a 2070. I know. There's Anno 2070.
Dang.
There's like a shit ton of Anno games that are, yeah, like top-down management.
Yeah, going back to Spore. Spore is an interesting game because it's like five games in one.
Yeah.
If you never played Spore, it was... Who was it? It was Maxis, right? So Maxis is the one who does Sims. Does...
Yes.
Yeah, and EA. So EA does it, and it's Will Wright, I believe.
Yeah, the music's the best part of it.
Of Spore?
Yeah.
I don't remember the music, but...
It's ambient Brian Eno music.
Okay. So the beginning of the game is not a management game. At the beginning of the game, you are a single-cell organism, and you try to eat the smaller ones,
yeah.
And you get bigger and bigger, and as you get bigger, you can eat bigger ones, and eventually...
You become multicellular.
You're just kind of like, this is like a weird phone game.
Yeah.
Then, if you... when you get big enough, you become
a creature.
And in the creature mode, you just play one creature and you are trying to
try to bone.
Yeah, you try to find a mate.
Yeah. You got to get food and get desirable traits.
Yeah, so it's kind of becomes a survival game at that
point. Yeah, and you eat other creatures to take their traits. So yeah. Like if you want to like get like a big beak, you find a creature with a big beak and you kill it. Take its beak.
Yeah.
And that's how you evolve in Spore. Yeah.
Well, I think that's only if you're a carnivore. I think if you're herbivore, you have to eat enough
of a certain thing.
A certain plant, and then you can get those things. And you kind of go into like, at any time you kind of go into like an carnivore. Evolution. Yeah. Why not? You kind of go into like an evolution time, which is like a character creation, and you could like put a beak on top of your head you or whatever.
Like, you get like blobs that you could like mold into
it was
shapes.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Then once you find a mate, you mix with whatever creature that is, and then it like generates.
Like
then it becomes
you
like
do
a
that a handful of times, don't you? You like get DNA points and you're like that's how you like
so.
That's how you adjust your thing. But then you go into like a small tribe.
That's kind of like a real-time strategy.
Yeah, where you're fighting off other tribes and things.
Yeah, because there's like that's like the war times.
Yeah.
And then you go to space.
There's like a city building part too.
Yes. Okay, that's where it becomes like a management game. Yeah. It's like the city building part. And then you go to space and that's like a management part as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a weird game. If you've never played it, I'd recommend it, but it's still kind of expensive. Like I would look it up on Steam sometimes.
It's not a great game either.
It's not. See, I've read that it's pretty good. I played it when I was younger and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I was also younger and then
kind of
have weird memories of, you know.
But yeah, there's, I mean, like, if you're into a genre, there's probably a management game in that genre.
Yeah,
there's Football Manager. If you're into sports, there's Football Manager. If you're into space, there's Stellaris and Rimworld. If you're into fantasy, there's Dwarf Fortress or like I don't want to say Age of Empires, but that's just history.
Like I wonder. I'm surprised there's not a like. There's gotta be, right? I gotta find this out.
What?
Like the Kingdom Manager, right?
Oh yeah, it's called. Majesty.
Kingdom Manager games. There's also Yes, Your Grace.
Majesty is probably the management game I've played the most.
The Fantasy Kingdom Sim.
Mm-hmm. It's like a real-time strategy game kind of thing. Well. But you're not in control of any units. You set bounties and you recruit heroes. And you get to control kind of like what kind of heroes they are.
Gotcha.
Like, and you can have goblins and if you have goblins, then the dwarves and the elves will refuse to like work with you because they hate the goblins. Or if you have elves, then the dwarves won't come. But if you have dwarves, then you can get like better buildings. Or if you have elves, you get better units and things. So it's
interesting.
Kind of interesting how it does that. And there's like, different modes and monsters that you have to fight off, and it's a pretty old game though. I think it's on Steam. It's usually like $2 on Steam.
Yeah, I found, by the way, Star Wars The Gungan Frontier is not a fever dream. It exists. I really, really like to play that again. Another game, I guess, I don't know. I think I've talked about this game before. I'm not sure if you remembered it or not. It was a precursor to, actually, to Fable. It was made by that guy whose name I'm blanking. But they had a game called Black and White. There were two of them.
Oh, I do remember that, yes. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah, that kind of blurs the lines, too, because like you can interact with the people, mm-hmm. but the idea is you're a god, and as a god, you get a special pet. There's all kinds of different ones, and then, of course, there's expansion packs, so you can get like a giant monkey or a giant wolf. Or
We've talked about this game a handful of times.
Yeah.
I've never, like, Googled it, and maybe I have, and I just don't remember talking about this, but Black and White 2, there is at my parents' house mm-hmm. a pretty thick case, mm-hmm. and it has like 4 DVDs stacked in the case, and it is this game. I've never played it, never pulled it out of the box.
Never played that game.
It's just
this was one of my parents' house. Favorite.
I think
games.
I just threw it away the other day when I was
it's cleaning out such a good game
at their house.
So, People are mad that you can't play without
cleaning out my old bedroom at my parents' house.
So that game, like, you are God, and you get prayer points, basically. And prayer points allow you to do spells. There are good spells. There are bad spells. There are two ways that you can get prayer points. One is to have people pray to you. The other one is to pick them up and
scared.
Put them on the and sacrifice them. So, and you can sacrifice everything you sacrifice, any living being you sacrifice, but it gives you different points. So if you wanted to, you could kind of do a middle ground and you could
sacrifice goats and stuff.
Goats and sheep and things like that. But they only get you so much. You start sacrificing people and like, bam, lots of power.
You become Montezuma.
Then you can do different things. So you have your giant animal that is whatever, and you can be nice or you can be evil to him. And however you treat him is going to be how he ends up, right? So if you start smacking him around, he's going to start going around and eating people and eating goats. If you pet him, they learn. So you can show them, like, oh, the grain goes in the grain area. They all start grabbing grain and throwing it in there. It was pretty cool. And sometimes they'll pick up people and they'll pet them and they'll put them down and stuff. So you can either just like scare people into worshiping you by throwing fireballs at their town or chain lightning them. And the more and more prayer power you have, the more like your boundaries expand. So you can get close and you're trying to destroy the other god's temple. So there's two gods on every island. So once you get close enough, you can start hurling rocks at his temple or throwing fireballs at it.
Yeah.
Or eventually you can just make it that you have so many people praying for you that there's no one praying for him. And eventually
his
he will disappear.
Power, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great game. Really wish there was a way to play it now that was simpler. But that was huge. And then basically they took that idea of good and evil and they put it in a person and created Fable.
Yeah.
Which was also fun. But
for sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of out. There's so many of these.
We
could talk for a million years and look them all up. But you can email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com or you can go on our Twitter and talk to us at Party Foul Games. Or in other times, you can always get in our chat when we record live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Party Foul Games. But let us know what one of these games like hooked you. I really like these games. I don't think if people say what kind of games you play, I ever would say it, but
I play and watch more of these types of games than just about any other property.
They're kind of like secret favorites, like in a way, like ones I don't think about.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I just don't think about them. Like, I played it.
And I don't think people talk about them a lot, is the other thing. Like, when a new Red Dead comes out, everyone's talking about it. When a new Halo comes out, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, I think they're, and maybe it is because they're so niche to mm-hmm. their genres that mm-hmm. a lot of, like, there's not a lot of kind of that widespread appeal to them.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, you know, there's usually no online or anything like that. Yeah. So it's not like, oh, I have to get on and play day one. Mm-hmm. But there's no story to be ruined for the most part. So, yeah, they are a lot of fun. And it's also a fun game that you can kind of just play with a friend, really chill too. If you got like a big screen, you guys can both just be like, hey, you want to make a park or a city or something like that? Sure, let's check it out.
Yeah.
So, this is where we would usually have trivia. We are going to have trivia still. Yeah.
Neil is gone. I can tell you Neil's answer.
Okay. What was Neil's question?
So Neil's question was, I think, and I'm quoting here, Square Enix, who made Final Fantasy, has also made an actual good game.
That's Neil's his, word. Yeah.
Has made actual good games. And then he asked us what
he seems so nice, Neil, doesn't he? Yeah. And then after a while, you're like, he's kind of a jerk.
Kind of a dickhead. Neil will be back next week, guys. There hasn't been any falling out.
No, he's just in Florida.
He's on vacation. His question was, what's the second highest selling? And I don't know if he means like money grossing or units sold.
Gotcha.
Franchise.
Because Final Fantasy is their number one?
Square Enix, yes.
Okay.
And we were one of two things.
We were guessing Tomb Raider. We were guessing...
I said Dragon Quest, which is the most units sold franchise.
Gotcha.
But I also said Kingdom Hearts and Hitman and a million other things.
Yeah, we were just yelling ones out. Yeah.
But I guess the most money, second to Final Fantasy, and then they didn't put this game out, but they acquired it after they bought the company that owned it, but Space Invaders. So I don't know if he was going for Dragon Quest or Space Invaders. But Space Invaders, just the single game, has made $3.85 billion. And that's not with inflation.
Jeez.
So it's 14.4 with inflation.
That's insane.
But it was released by Taito Games in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then by Taito America in the U.S. But yeah, it was acquired by Square Enix. So it depends on how you want to count those things. But it wasn't a Square Enix game. But yeah, so Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy, Tomb Raider, Kingdom Hearts, all
kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's a powerhouse of a company right there.
Yeah.
All right, here's my question. This is gonna be fun because it's got multiple parts. I think it's gonna be fun. But Clint doesn't always think what I think is fun is fun. But so here we go. In 1999, out of the top three PC games sold, the top two were management games.
Okay.
What were they in the order? Or in the order they were in? One and two.
1999.
Then, for bonus points, what was number three? Hint, it was a very popular game show.
SimCity 2000? SimCity. You're going to have to give me hints or something.
I don't know, they're just both management games that came out in 1999. That's a pretty good hint.
In Jeopardy.
Okay. No. No, one and two. What is one and two?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
SimCity and Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Okay, and then you said Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good guesses. That's it, and we'll be back next week with Neil. We'll learn the answer to that, and we'll talk about it.
Better be fucking good.
Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Check us out on Monday nights. Oh, yeah. If you're into Dungeons and Dragons, we have a actual play Dungeons and Dragons stream with me and 5 others. Mm-hmm. Things got a little intense last week. We had a character die
last night.
Yeah. So next Monday, that's gonna kind of come to a head because she's dead. But she's been brought back to life momentarily to finish out her work. And then she's going to die again. So we're going to have a bit of drama next week. So if you want to tune in and watch some people cry. there was a little bit of that last week, but we'll have a little more next week, I think. But yeah, that's at 7 o'clock on Monday nights. And then we'll be back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.